You're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Here's your host, Sam Marcoux.
You girls are young. You probably never had pubic hair in your entire lives. It went out of style before you got any. Must have freaked you out when that happened because there was no pictures of it in magazines or anything. It's like, oh my God, mother, I think I'm on Team Jacob. Ah! What happened then? You just twinked it out one at a time. You just never had to tear off an entire pelt in one shot. So I shaved above the knee. You do feel a little saucy when you shave above the knee, don't you? You're like, woo! I know something you don't. Woo! Ooh, you're a young sweater vest. I know a lot of shit you don't. And look at this pile of cougar chum over here. Holy shit! Hello, Boy Scouts. Got your MILF badge yet, do ya? Growing bones need MILF.
Welcome back to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. This is Sam Marcoux along with Matt Somerville. How you doing, Matt?
Good, how are you, buddy?
I am doing all right. I just got back from the road, and before I get into that, I should point out that the listening audience probably heard two things at the top of the show. One of them being a comedian that we always try to share at the top of the show. That was the great Tracy Smith, who I worked with all weekend. If you don't know Tracy Smith, that's your problem, not hers. Tracy is an old, she's going to kill me for saying old, but she's an old timer. She's been doing comedy for close to 30 years. The definition of a road comic, had a Comedy Central special. She's been headlining all over the country, all over the world, really. And used to be a writer for Roseanne Barr. So pretty accomplished, as she would put it. Not
Roseanne Barr, wow.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can hear Roseanne in her act a little bit. You definitely, after you know that she worked for Roseanne, you kind of go, oh yeah, I can definitely hear that in your act. But much like you can hear Kabir Singh in my act, I mean, the people that you hang out with, you tend to sort of pull a little bit of that personality and that cadence and that flow into your own thing.
But by association.
Exactly. But a very fun lady to hang out with. Kind of funny. I was walking with her. We were in North Lake Tahoe. I did shows in North Lake Tahoe, Reno, and Carson City this past week. And there was a lot of downtime. And Thursday morning, we were just kind of walking around Crystal Bay. And she goes, you know what? I want some chocolate. You want to come with me to go get some chocolate? And I go, sure. Let's go get some chocolate. So she goes and gets this organic chocolate bar. She takes one bite of it and she goes, this is crap, and just literally throws it on the ground.
Wow. Yeah.
And she's like, this is awful. Like, it tastes like wax. I don't want this. So we walked into the next convenience store and she got like commercial candy bar and was a much happier woman to be around after that. But
organic kind of anything beyond like vegetables. I tried to grow an organic beer once. It was something called Black Sheep. Fucking nightmare. It tasted like it should not have existed.
Yeah, I mean, organic is a buzzword, much like, you know, green, whatever, and all the other nonsense that's out there. I mean, it's just one of those words that people use to sell horrible, horrible shit, and in this case, horrible chocolate shit. So she went for the real deal after that. It was pretty funny. She kind of, for however you would roast an organic candy bar, she did her, she did it, and it was funny. It was hilarious. So Tracy Smith, if you haven't checked her out. You can find her clips on YouTube. You can find her on Facebook. You can find her on Twitter, most likely. I don't know, but most likely you can find her on Twitter. And actually, no, you can't. We were talking about that, and she's like, fuck Twitter. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, fuck Twitter.
I like her already.
Yeah, so she's cool.
Who's the fine gentleman who I heard also in there that I've not heard before?
Yeah, so that was number two of where I was getting to. That is the great Ross Baker, the official voice of Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Ross is fell in love with this dude's voice over the weekend. He's starting to do comedy shows in the Reno area. He is the official announcer for the Pioneer Underground, where I was headlining on Thursday night and hosting and featuring the rest of the weekend. I immediately, after hearing him, very nice guy, and I just said, dude, I've got to record your voice. I've got to record you for my intro and outro for the show. And he was like, I would be happy to do it. That would be my honor. It would be my pleasure. And I was just like, can you just keep talking forever?
Yeah,
it sounds amazing.
I need your soundtrack.
Yeah, and you know, it's great. And one of the things that I like about this is he gave us permission to do it for the right price, free $99, Matt. Don't got to pay this guy anything.
Best price ever. And you know, it feels like we've been taking a bit of a break here. We haven't done this in a while, and we come back and we now have an official announcer. I think we're moving on up.
Yeah, I mean, he's getting paid the same salary that you and I are getting paid for this show. Yeah. So, you know, he's on equal footing. So congratulations, Ross Baker, the official third member of the Predictably Drunk crew, smart people talking about stupid things. And, you know, I think every now and then, I think we're going to do is he's got a studio up there in Reno. He does a bunch of voiceover work for the radio and TV, as you can imagine. I think every now and then, Matt, we'll just come up with some dumb things for him to say, and we'll write it out, and we'll send it to him and have him record it and send it back to us, and we'll just enhance our show that much more by having the third member, Predictably Drunk, Ross Baker, drop some weird shit on us every now and then and sexy up the audio for us.
I think the best part about that plan is that we don't actually have to go to Reno to make that happen.
Yes. I have trained carrier pigeons that will go there, and the internet, they have that there in Reno now. So
that's a new thing. Email him. That's a new thing in Reno.
Yeah, well, the comedy condo I was staying at did not have Wi-Fi, so I felt like I was stuck in 2006, which was a nightmare, but more on that later. But, you know, since we're talking about Ross Baker, I'm going to play... for you, I mean, it's always funny when you have to record stuff because, as most people know, that these are not live broadcasts, right? We're recording these into microphones where then I can then manipulate them later with After Effects if need be, or clean up any weird audio, or, as I've mentioned in the past, Matt's horrible racist drunken tirade.
Yeah.
We just edit those up and drop them out of there so that Matt can continue to work in Hollywood.
If Sam didn't edit these things, I'd be in jail by now, man.
Yeah, I mean, you should hear what he says about the Jews. And this man works in Hollywood. It's insane.
Strike that from the record.
Yeah, I will take that out. You know what I'll do? I'll bleep that so that nobody knows what I said.
That'll be an edit. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But let's just hear. So, you know, because Ross Baker, as perfect as his voice is, he's not a perfect man. That's why he's perfect for this show. So let's just play the audio again. And let's mock the man for having the audacity to get tongue-tied
on his first show. We're going to mock him. All right, let's do this.
Well, fuck Ross Baker. He's a part of the crew. We're allowed to mock him. And, by the way, he lit me early on one of my shows, so this is payback for him stealing 3 minutes of my set. So
all right, let's gouge
take
him.
That, Ross Baker. Yep. All right, so this is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, as he was recording the intro. Very serious, in a suit with glasses on, in the green room, on a plastic chair with a broken table and my recorder. So, well, let's do him a solid first. Let's hear what it sounds like when he nails it. So
you're listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Here's your host, Sam Marcoux.
So I immediately like him because he left your name.
Yeah,
off the
I have an issue
list.
With this motherfucker. I suddenly now, don't like Ross.
Now, honestly, that is my bad, not his. I wrote out the script. He wrote that exactly down, or he read it exactly as I wrote it, which means I forgot to put you on the list because I was excited to get somebody with a professional voice on the show instead of you and I for once. So, number one that we're going to do is we are going to give Ross a new intro that adds your name to the
show.
That'd
be nice. It's like fucking three words. It's and Matt Somerville. It's not hard.
Well, I mean, it might be hard. Let's listen to the rest. I mean, that was the final product of me editing quite a bit. I mean, Ross had some trouble with some of this here. So let's just listen to some of his troubles with the first part of that intro.
You're listening to Predictably...
Oh, boy.
One more time.
As you can tell, Predictably Drunk is a very hard word to say.
It only takes a few words to completely fuck somebody up.
Yeah, it really doesn't take that much. Now, you know, we also had him film an outro, so let's hear the outro.
And find the complete catalog on drunk.com, predictablydrunk.com. Nope. That's not right.
No, he's absolutely right, and that it is not right. You are correct, Ross, in that you are incorrect in doing that. So, you know, professional voice, maybe not professional mind. But we're working on that, and we're happy to have Ross aboard. So welcome Ross Baker to the show, the official voice of Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. And you know what? He did get the exit right, too, eventually here. So you know, might as well give him a
song. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and find the complete catalog on PredictablyDrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking.
See, now, no offense to Ross, but all I really care about now is the domain of drunk.com. I think we need to change we need to change some things around here.
Drunk.com is getting like dozens upon dozens upon dozens of hits right now because of Ross Baker. So
that has to exist already.
Oh,
of
course it does. I'm not going to do us the favor of looking it up because it's probably a much more popular website than ours, which is predictablydrunk.com. But nonetheless, Ross Baker, stud man. I mean, listen to that voice. How can you not love that voice?
It's sexy. It's radio time sexy. Big ups to Ross Baker. Thank you for being the third member of the show. As I said earlier, it feels like it's been a while since we've been doing that. What have you been up to?
Since you and I have actually sat down in the flesh, so to speak, for lack of a better term, it has been a while. I mean, to be honest with you, I'm not going to brag or anything, but the comedy...
He's about to brag,
but
everybody.
I'm about to fucking shit brag all over everything. The comedy career has been going quite well. At least it's been proficient, we'll put it that way. I mean, I think over the last month, I have hit every sort of gimmicky comic, stand-up comic venue that you can possibly do, Matt. I mean, first things first, I want to do a big shout-out to this show, Matt Somerville, Sam Marcoux, for the Predictably Drunk Comedy All-Stars that happened on March 8th. That's how long it's been, ladies and gentlemen. It's the end of March. Matt and I have not spoken since before the Comedy All-Star break, or Comedy All-Star, whatever the fuck we call it. Who cares? We already sold it out. Doesn't
matter.
It was a thing.
Yeah. How was it? How was that thing?
It was great. It was at Tommy T's in Pleasanton, my home club, the club that's treated me better than virtually any other club out there in the United States so far. We had on a Tuesday, which is basically a comedy death night, just for people to know. I mean, Tuesday is the worst night to do comedy. We packed close to 150 people into this club. And basically every comic went up there and ripped it apart. It was a great night. I could not have been happier. So I want to thank the people that came out to support the show. I want to thank the comics. Everyone from Ellis Rodriguez, who closed it out, to Kabir Kabizi Singh, who's got a lot of big news coming up that I cannot spoil here. We've got Jesus Christ. Jeremy Curry did well. I mean,
Jesus Christ was there?
Jeremy Curry. Jesus Christ bombed, but Jeremy Curry murdered an audience for the first time in a long time.
Ever.
Yes. The first guest in this podcast history went on stage and ripped it apart. Rudy O, a.k.a. Rudy Ortiz from 95.7 The Game, part of the Three Amigos, he went up there, did his thing, did an absolute phenomenal job. Basically had to go up first because Jeremy was a little baby and didn't want to go up first, so I had to make a last-minute audible. Rudy went up there.
What a sally.
Yeah, what a total sally. He was riding Rudy's coattails. That's probably why he was bombing, or not bombing, in fact. And then this is how you know you have a good show or a hot show, Matt, in comedy, is that a gentleman by the name of Jay Rich. You probably have never heard of Jay Rich. Jay Rich is one of the hottest comics in the East Bay, especially out of Oakland, California. This guy sells out shows left and right. This guy has opened for Genuine recently, the singer.
I'm sorry. Let's back it up. Genuine is a singer?
Yeah, well, R&B artist, if you will. You know,
I always thought he was a rapper. He was a straight rapper.
No, I don't. I mean, he did "Riding My Pony." I don't think that's a rap song. That's much more of an R&B slow jams hit, is it not?
I guess you're right. Yeah. I guess you're right. But things do change when time passes from 1996.
Yeah. So I mean, whatever the case may be, he does black music stuff, and he was popular at one point. Jay Rich opens for people like that. Mark Curry, some of the biggest names that you'll out of the Bay Area and elsewhere. Was just jamming down to L.A. He's got a following down there. He calls me up and says, hey, man, I hear you got a cool show tonight. You're going to have a lot of people in the audience. Do you mind if I just come by and drop a set? Which I cut 5 minutes of my own time to give to Jay Rich because Jay Rich is such a stud on the mic that anytime you get somebody like that who just wants to come in, not get paid, mind you, and just drop a set on your show, you do it. So,
That happens down here a lot, actually. You'll go to a show, you know, whether it's the Laugh Factory or the Comedy Store, or even something smaller like Flappers in Burbank, you'll get sort of, you'll get the show card and you'll have a few names on there. And then out of nowhere, I was doing this maybe 2 months ago, I was seeing a show at Comedy Store. All of a sudden, Daniel Tosh shows up and just does a little 15-minute set. And it was fantastic. And no one had any idea that he was showing up. It's wonderful.
Yeah, the problem with that is Daniel Tosh probably bumped some three poor bastards from the show night. But
that's absolutely true. And I'm thanking God that it happened.
Yeah, well, he's going to be much better. I mean, that actually happened to Kabir here recently. He was down in your neck of the woods. He was down in Southern California, and he dropped the set, and Joe Rogan happened to be in the audience and pulled Kabir aside and told him how much he enjoyed his set. And I also would be remiss if I did not shout out Chelsea Bierce, the first – well, not the first female on the show, but – the only female on the Comedy All-Star show, who is up on stage about 9 months pregnant, just making people laugh. I thought she was going to give birth on stage. She did an awesome job. And yeah, it was just a great night. So, I mean, that was the very first produced event in Predictably Drunk history. And it went down as a wild success, in my opinion. So congrats to everybody who was involved with that. Thank you very much for making that happen. We're absolutely going to be doing more shows and more venues and different types of events. A lot of good stuff has come out of that show. And I will.
It was so popular that I didn't even get to go. Like, I'm part of Predictably Drunk, and I didn't get to go because of how fucking packed the place was.
Well, according to Ross Baker, you're not a host on this show. So that's why you weren't allowed in.
This is all just a ruse for me. Like, you like to let me pretend like I'm on the show. Later on, you edit me out just to make me happy and prevent me from killing myself. And I thank you as a friend of mine. That's very nice of you.
That's what friends do. Now, moving on from there, or working backwards from there, I did the San Luis Obispo Comedy Festival down in San Luis Obispo called Slow Fest. It was about 4 or 5 nights of comedy, just venue after venue after venue. 50 or 60 comics from all over the United States got together, did comedy for a bunch of people, drank for a bunch of people, just a great time. Festivals are where it's at. I think that was a lot of fun. I want to thank Mark Fry and everybody there who got me into that festival. Well, I got myself into that festival, but they allowed me to get myself into that festival, if that makes any sense. So
while you were there, did you stay at the famous Madonna Inn?
No, I've been to the Madonna Inn multiple times, which, you know, it's got the themed rooms, which I think people like. But something about the Madonna Inn is that it's very old. Everything's very small in nature as compared to hotel amenities today. So you walk in and you practically hit your head on the roof of these rooms. So it's really not as cool as I think people think it is.
It's not only old in nature, but it's also everything about it is created for old married couples as well.
It's like carnation pink. And even the toilet is just like a big rock that you piss on. And I think it's just for like old people to be like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to, lift my dick up into a urinal. I'll just pee on the ground, essentially.
Yep. That's pretty much what it is.
They have a good bar there. And here at Predictably Drunk, we love our bars for sure.
We sure do. I've gone beyond the beer. And I've gone straight for the rum. I'm drinking just rum.
Matt the Pirate Somerville. Good for you.
Yeah. How about you?
I'm actually drinking cranberry juice and vodka, which I don't know where I got either one of these things, but they're in my refrigerator and freezer respectively. So I combine them, and that's what I'm drinking.
And that's how you know you hate yourself, when you're drinking cranberry and vodka.
Yeah, well, you know what? I when I started drinking officially around 21, 22, vodka was kind of the alcohol of choice for me. I mean, I used to do screwdrivers all the time. I was doing vodka and cran. I was doing shots of vodka. It was kind of like my jam. And then I think I went to Vegas for the first time as a 21-year-old, and I drank so much vodka that I pretty much put it on the shelf for the next decade and a half.
Yeah,
it was just not, I was just kind of like, I'm done with vodka, with the exception of doing like a Bloody Mary every now and then. But no, I don't really drink vodka too often.
After you have an incident with a particular type of liquor, even the smell of that liquor can really just set you off.
Yeah, you know what was weird too, and I don't want to, I'm not going to name the comedian who mentioned this to me this weekend, because he's a real sweet guy, and I actually like doing comedy with him and see him grow and respect him as a young comedian coming up. But he said the weirdest thing to me over the weekend. He was saying that he walked into the green room at this particular place that we were at and said, you know, the whole room really smells like cocaine.
Wow.
Which I was like, I don't know, dude. Cocaine kind of smells the same to me, regardless of...
Speaks volumes.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know cocaine had a smell. It has a taste.
I didn't know that either.
No, it definitely has a taste, but I never knew that cocaine had a smell.
Yeah, I didn't know it had a taste either, honestly.
Well, I mean, it's the drainage from whatever they usually cut it with. It's disgusting. Well, this isn't predictably high. This is predictably drunk. We should move on from that.
Moving on.
I mean, the other thing that I want to point out is that I'm also in the Rooster Teeth Feathers Comedy Competition, which, as much as I love festivals, I hate comedy competitions.
Why is that?
Excuse me as I choke on my my drink here. Because comedy is, on some level, an art, you know. I consider it the graffiti of the performing arts. It's kind of a dirty art. Some people appreciate it. Some people think it's trashy. And I think it's very hard. It's almost like Battle of the Bands. It's very hard to judge comedy based on whether something is quote-unquote good or not. Unless, of course, you get some bad comics. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I had a guy on stage during the prelims of this competition who pulled out his notes, declared to everybody that he has social anxiety disorder, and this is his first time ever on stage. And I was like, well, this...
not a good start.
I have a feeling this guy's going to murder him.
Way to break the ice, but the shitty, horrible ice that nobody wants. That's not a good start, dude.
Yeah, I was trying.
How did he do, though?
He was terrible. What do you expect?
Okay, well, I thought maybe there might be a surprise in there, but no. That might have been part of his act. I don't know.
The surprise is that he didn't pull out a gun like the kid in the Jeremy video for Pearl Jam and start just shooting everybody in the audience.
Assed in the joint, yeah.
Yeah, no, but I mean, that's one extreme, but you get a bunch of, I'll put it this way, I finished in the top three. In fact, I finished in the top two.
Out of
18 in my prelim round. So, I mean...
not bad, Sammy. Very nice.
Yeah. Now, the difference between one and three is negligible. And it's because those two other comics I know from the road, and I know that they're good. So, I could have gone one, I could have gone three, and I would have been happy with any of it. Why? Because A, it means I advance, and B, it's so hard to judge when you're on that level. Now, I'm not saying I'm top level whatever. What I'm saying is, in this particular competition, I was at the top level of this prelim round. So whether I went one or three, it really didn't matter to me, to be honest, just because it shows that really, God, I mean, what are you going to do? Measure the laughs per minute? I don't know how you calculate it when you get to that part. I just don't.
Yeah, I always was kind of stopped up on that part of Last Comic Standing. I wasn't sure how that's, I mean, I guess if you have, did Rooster Teeth Feathers have judges?
So the way they do it, the prelim round, they actually let the audience judge, which a lot of comics hate, because what that ends up happening is...
Friends are there and give you the edge.
Well, you get, what you call bringers, and you don't want to be a bringer in comedy. For people that have never heard that term before, that's when you're not good at comedy, but they book you on the show because you can bring a lot of people. Now, there's two schools of thought to that. Yeah, stuff the ballot box, bring your friends, let them vote for you, and you move on to the semis. Now, I didn't bring anybody. I didn't have anybody in the audience that I would consider a friend or anybody that I even knew outside of the other comics that were on the dais. I still finished second overall with a lot of first place votes. Why? Because I was so much better than everybody else. And what I was banking on is, yeah, the bringers are going to get their votes, but they're going to look at my set and go, holy crap, that was so good. How can I not vote for this guy? And that's exactly what happened.
That's great.
Now, there's another school of thought that some people would say as well, you know, comics get mad that bringers move on to the semis even though they weren't funny. Well, guess what? Then you need to go get some more friends, comic. I mean, that's just the bottom line is like these club owners, they're looking to put people in the seats. So they love bringers. And that's an absolute correct school of thought when it comes to that as well. So
was there anyone in say the top five you felt were undeserving and maybe possibly only there because of the support of these bringers?
Absolutely. So the way this works is they have like six or seven prelim rounds of 18 each. So there's over 100 comedians that, quote unquote, comedians that join this. Now, some of them are very, you know, are open micers. So this is a big deal for them. Some of them have never been on stage before, like the social anxiety disorder guy or sad guy, as I like to call him. So the top four from each prelim round move on. So I would say the top three in my round were comedians, absolute comedians. The fourth guy was a total bringer, and he will not make it out of the semis because the semis is when they bring professional comedians in to judge this as well.
Oh, wow.
So I don't think he'll make it out of the semis, but it's fine. I mean, look, you got people that are bringing people to the shows. You want to perform for people, so you got to be happy for bringers, in my opinion.
So what's the next step with this thing?
Well, my next heat is April 27th. That's a Wednesday at Rooster Teeth Feathers in Sunnyvale. I think it's down to about 9 people in my heat, and there's 3 semifinal rounds. And then from there, I think they take the top 9 or 10, and you go to the finals. And that, I believe, is judged by judges as well. So basically,
for anyone who doesn't live directly in Sunnyvale, where the fuck is Sunnyvale?
Sunnyvale is right by San Jose, Santa Clara, Campbell, the Silicon Valley, if you will. It's right in there. It's a very nice place. If you'd like to come out and watch comedy at a comedy club that is right next to a Meineke car care, you can go get your tires rotated, watch me drop a set, and move on to the finals on April 27th. That is totally fine by me.
Now, make sure you only laugh if what Sam is saying is funny. You do not want to turn him into a bringer.
No, what? No, screw you. Laugh at all my shit, because A, it's funny. And B, I am beyond bringer status. I am a draw, Matt, as they say. So at some point, you quit being a bringer and you become a draw, which is why I just came back from Reno. And I did 6 shows and 4 nights up in Reno. And I drank my ass off. I hung out with people that are way too young to be hanging out with me. And had myself a great time with a nice little hangover. So it was a nice weekend.
To be clear, that's anyone under Sam's age. Anyone under Sam's age would be too young to be hanging out with Sam.
Which is just about everybody on the planet, according to Matt.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
So that's what I've been up to. What have you been up to?
Fuck all.
25 minutes to get into what have you been up to.
Yeah. No. Nothing. Fucking nothing. I've, you know, just keeping up the work and, you know, finagling things on the side as well. Future endeavors, laying out on my ass. I slipped a disc in my back. So I, when that happens, I'm completely useless. Just playing phone tag with doctors, really boring shit. This is not a question you should have asked, 'cause it's a horribly boring answer. Nothing. I've been up to nothing. You've been up to far more exciting things.
Jesus Christ. And we were just making fun of me being old. My God, you slipped a disc in your back and are laying down.
Yeah, I did.
Are you like laying upside down in like one of them anti-gravity?
People keep suggesting me that to me, and it would probably do me more harm than good. Long, boring story short, we all have discs in between our vertebrae that are filled with fluid that offer support. 2 of mine do not have fluid anymore, and they are easily slipped into the nerve system of my spine, causing intense pain and preventing me from existing as a normal human being because it's at the bottom of my spine. So I need surgery, basically. I need fake artificial discs jammed into my spine. That won't happen for another year or two, but I have to kind of figure out how to exist in the meantime while I have my first son, which is coming up in July.
Yeah, I was just thinking if you're in that upside down thing, you could just like chug beer and get drunk like super, super fast.
Right. That's true. That's true.
I don't give a shit about your back.
No, all of those other things you didn't hear a word I said, but sticking on the anti-grav thing, yeah.
Wait, you're having a kid?
What? I've had people. You know what? I tell somebody that I have back issues, and I hear every fucking idea under the sun.
Yeah.
Whether or not it applies to my specific situation, it could be fucking eating daffodils at an elevation of 30,000 feet in the fucking Swiss Alps. Like, I've heard it all. I've heard every single goddamn remedy that any human has ever discovered in terms of fixing something wrong with them, even if it has nothing to do with the back. Like, I still hear it.
Yeah, that's one of those things that just people love to give advice. It's like, yeah, I'm thinking about losing some weight, and then people will tell you how to lose weight, or, you know, my back hurts, oh, you need to do yoga, or you need to hike, or you need to pray, or blah 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 blah. It's like, shut the fuck up.
You need to find Jesus.
Way to make this about you, shithead. I was telling you about my problems. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're 100% right about that. Well, sorry to hear about your back, man.
Right.
But at least you're drinking, what are you drinking again, rum?
I am drinking rum.
So you can go out and plunder and bury treasure later, that would be good.
And it's pain-free typically on alcohol. That really helps with the pain. So plundering is not an issue, as it would be normally during the day when I'm not drinking.
Yeah, I mean, you have the whole it's going to be a legal thing, but as long as it's not painful, then good.
Yeah, no, fuck everybody. It's the pain thing is the number one issue. So as long as that's taken care of, I'm happy.
Yeah, well, speaking of things to take care of, we should probably take care of a little bit of business. I already mentioned Wednesday, April 27th at Rooster Teeth Feathers. Wednesday, April 20th, I'll be part of the 420 five-year anniversary comedy jam.
Hooray!
Yeah, or whatever. I guess I'm a part of that now. Thursday, April 21st, I'll be at the Downtown Theater in Fairfield, California. And then also Sunday, May 1st, I'm back at the Sacramento Punchline in Sacramento, California, one of my favorite places to do comedy. I should also mention that Jared the Asshole, if you're listening to this, I promised that I would shout you out on the show. Jared the Asshole came to my headlining gig at the Pioneer Underground on Thursday night and got dubbed Jared the Asshole. So there you go, Jared. This episode is dedicated to you because you are such an asshole.
Where's this Baker dude? He could be doing all this shit.
Yes, we probably should send this to Ross Baker. I should also point out that coming up on the show recently, or soon, I should say, not recently, but soon, Marth and Eric from the Marth and Eric podcast, a couple of guys are doing podcasts on the East Coast, pretty much sound like the East Coast version of us, from what I can gather. So it might be fun to talk to them about the podcast world, how they got started, and see how they're doing their shit and what they're up to. Mario Montez is going to be on the show. Kabir Singh is going to be on the show. Sammy Obey is going to be on the show. Look at us with actual guests. I should also point out that John Bowlerjack, who Matt interviewed a couple weeks back, I want to thank him for being a guest on the show. I thought that was fascinating about Stan Lee and everything he's doing there. I also think
he's a cool guy.
Yeah, he's a cool guy. He's fun to follow on Instagram because he gets in fights with other comic book nerds, which is very entertaining on nights where you're bored and there's nothing on Netflix. So follow John Bowlerjack Art on Instagram. You can catch him fighting with other nerds about who actually painted Stormtrooper helmets first. I also want to shout out Ellis Rodriguez. That was a fantastic episode in the Green Room not too long ago where he came on the show and talked about his life in comedy as well as being in the military. Just it's a lot of fun, man. We're doing good things with this show. We've got some things to announce coming up regarding this show before too long, which I think are going to excite the people that are listening to this. And other than that, you got anything you want to say before we sign off on this episode there, Matty?
Just fuck my life, you know?
Fuck Matt's life. Love my life. Come to my shows. Go to predictablydrunk.com for the full catalog here. Go to sammarku.com to find all my tour dates for comedy. And go to mattsomerville.com if you want to look at a blank page.
If you want something that doesn't exist, go there.
That's it, guys. All right, well, that's it for this episode of Predictably Drunk. Hey, by the way, we're rounding out. We're almost on to episode 50, my friend.
What?
Yeah.
No.
The golden episode.
Don't talk to me about math.
Nope. Well, that's what it is. So we're
that's awesome though. That's fantastic. We're coming. Time flies.
Time flies. I mean, if I started this a year and a half ago, and I've been doing it once a week, which means I've only missed about 4 months worth of podcasts based on that. So, no, it's going well. We're having a great time.
Congratulations
to you, sir. And let's have Ross Baker take us out. See you, everybody.
You've been listening to Predictably Drunk, smart people talking about stupid things. Subscribe to us on iTunes and Stitcher Radio and find the complete catalog on predictablydrunk.com. Until next time, keep drinking.